All right, Georgia swim coach Jack Bowerly is with us. Hey, Coach, good morning.
Good morning, David. How you doing?
Well, you know, all things considered, we're here, we're on the air, and we are certainly glad to be. And I know you're on the road, right?
Yeah, on the road to Atlanta. But you guys do change the day for a lot of people. It's really important to keep some things. You know, people, we're all creatures of habit, and I'm in the habit of listening to you guys as much as I can, actually.
But, we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
It's good stuff. And I remember my last letter from Robin Roberts said, sports sure do give us a lot to talk about, and they really do. And I think that gives us a sense of normalcy for sure. You know?
Well, we do appreciate it, and we appreciate you. And, yeah, there's no doubt about the normalcy. That's probably been the number one thing we get in feedback that we've gotten in feedback over the last week is being able to hear the morning show and the home team in the afternoon and everything else in between in this time of things that aren't normal at all, for sure.
No, and I was talking to a couple of my coaches, and I never really knew much about Netflix until the last couple of weeks.
Hello, Netflix.
Holy jeez. Yeah. All of a sudden, Leanne and I, my wife and I saw, I think, 12 or 14 episodes of Designated Survivor.
Oh, it's a good show.
And yeah, it's actually pretty good. It gets a little, just a hair dramatic, but you know how TV is. But Kiefer's come a long way in his life.
Yeah. He certainly has, for sure. But, yeah, any other recommendations you have for us, Coach, we'll definitely take them.
I think that one's pretty neat. There's one, Lefty Brown, The Ballad of Lefty Brown.
Okay.
And it is it's something else. You know, they do these Westerns, and you got it. What's there's another one, too, with the Hostiles. I think that one's with, you know, when there was sort of a changeover when we were going after, you know, taking over the West. That is a terrific and well done show. Yeah. You have to be a little, you know, it's not for the faint of heart because they show those, they're pretty graphic, but they're extremely well done. Yeah. So,
excellent.
Anyhow, we can talk about the Indians and the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's right. I think we're going to have plenty of time to talk about that. Before we get into the Olympic stuff, I wanted to ask you, sad news on Saturday. We found out that Kenny Rogers passed away. And he was a big tennis guy, and I know you're a big tennis guy also. So give us some Kenny Rogers. Give us a Kenny Rogers story.
I got a bunch of them. But I think the funniest one was, you know, Coach, he was around a lot then. And, you know, and Mary Ann, as you know, her maiden name was Gordon, I believe, was brought up here in Athens. And she was real close friends with a couple of ladies. I shall remain nameless. They're still close friends. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing Mary Ann. Heck, she was in town. I saw her just a year and a half ago. But she was also very close friends with Phyllis George.
Okay.
And so there's some history for you. Logan, I think you're probably aware of Phyllis. She was actually a Miss America in Texas, and then she was on the set with Irv Cross and who else was it?
Brent Musburger and Jimmy the Greek.
Musburger, imagine that group.
That's who I grew up with.
Yeah, but Irv Cross was a gentleman. Jimmy might have been a stretch on that one, but that was some sort of group. But you know, they forget she was more like a fixture at the time. But she actually knew football and grew up with football,
right?
And she was really—I met her just I think one or two times here in Athens. She was absolutely gracious. But Kenny, actually, we always wanted a job that he had a traveling pro that went around with him to the tune of. The rumor was $100,000 a year, and all he had to do was play tennis with Kenny.
Wow, that's awesome!
And I met that guy a couple of times. I can't remember his name, but he did have a good gig. I remember one time he was there for a tournament, and I happened to be there. You know, Coach McGill, people forget. Besides being a great coach, he brought a community together in a way no other coach ever has, and he was a great great example for all of us as young coaches to be inclusive, you know, of people. Like, we try to do the same at the Ramsey Center with keeping it available for clubs and people, masters swimming and that kind of thing. You know, it's really a big deal. But none of us would have learned anything unless Coach was here. But he had tournaments. He had two tournaments a year. It was sort of nice for us that, you know, those who played tennis, you didn't have to travel, nor did we have the time to, so we could put it in our schedule. He had the big Crackerland tournament. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, it was gigantic. And but I remember one time I came off the court, and Kenny had just come off the court playing doubles, and we had met playing tennis more than a few times. So, I mean, he was aware of my name. We didn't know each other, but, you know, he knew I was close with Coach McGill. And everybody, all of a sudden, Dave, you probably remember that office. You remember how little that was, that tennis office to the side?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
When you came in.
There's some good stories I could tell off the air about that little office, but I won't tell them on the air. I might get in trouble.
David, that could be a whole afternoon schedule.
Exactly.
And it was always nice, you know, that Coca-Cola machine had a lot of Coke in it, but Coca-Cola's in it, but it also had one or two PBRs too, which was nice. But it was nice being able to get them for a dime.
That's right. That's
anyhow,
right.
Oh, jeez. But I'll never forget, I came off the court and everyone was mobbing him. I think it's hard to describe if people weren't around at that time. He was it in country music singing. I don't know how to even put it in terms of who right now. He was like before Garth Brooks and all that kind of stuff. He was, in a way, at the time, he was like a Johnny Cash of that time, right?
Oh, yeah, and huge.
Yeah,
gigantic.
Everybody's trying to get his autograph, and all of a sudden he looks up and sees, he goes, "Hey, Jack, how you doing?" I said, "Good." He said, "How'd you do today?" And I remember everyone looking over and thinking, "Who is that?"
Oh, man.
So, no, yeah, I mean, it was sort of this pregnant silence. Everyone sort of went dead. But he was affable and he was important. And he was a real, you know, Kenny and Marianne were an important part of donating money to Georgia Tennis. And then it took another step further, actually, the night the lights went on in Georgia with Kim Basinger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, that's a story for another time,
yes,
too.
I got
a couple of that, because Coach McGill called me up that morning and said, "Jack, what are you doing tonight?" And I said, "Well, I'm thinking about coming over." He said, "Stand close to me. I'll get you next, right near me on the court. It's going to be unbelievable."
Yes. If you want to stand next to Kim Basinger, be near me.
Be near me. She came up in the white limousine, and she came out, and she looked like a dream, you know. And so anyhow, it's good stuff. That's good stuff.
Well, Coach,
but I'm sorry to see him pass.
I know, yeah. I know. I hated to hear that as well.
He was living in Atlanta, right, Dave?
As far as I know, yes. He had moved to Atlanta.
Yeah,
of course,
sure.
He had the great compound out there. Beaver Dam Farms with his own 18-hole golf course, which is just crazy. But it was interesting.
That's where they had the big, what was the name of that show? ABC, the big
celebrity thing,
Hershel.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to tell Logan
Hershel
about that.
They had a 25-yard freestyle in that. They had the swim, they had the basketball, they had everything, the track. It was so
Michael Jordan was there. They had everybody at that thing. It was great. Well, Jack, tell us a little bit about it looks like the dominoes are starting to fall where we're not going to have the Olympics.
Yeah.
Canada has already said they're not coming, but what do you think's going to happen now?
Well, Canada said they're not going. Australia did also.
Yeah.
And that's gigantic because Australia is, you know, probably forever been our big rival, and it's sort of like Yankees and whoever, I guess you say, maybe the Red Sox. I have to say that because I have a coach that's a Red Sox fan. I'll tease him. And but anyhow, phone calls on Thursday and Friday and talking about where our stand would be. And the biggest thing for us was we didn't feel like there would be any way we could fit an Olympic trials in and prepare and give and put our best team there. There was also talk of being a paper team. In other words, the ones that had the best times right now, you know, from last summer and this winter, even though there were not many. We swim two types of meets. You probably know there's long course, which you know, the common person watching the Olympics, that's a 50 meter pool. In college, we swim a 25 yard pool, and you can honestly say they are two different sports. Fortunately, we've been real good in both, and actually in some ways better on long course, which is the Olympic pool and international swimming. But if they did it by paper, we probably would have had three athletes on the team, but we also have two or three more that we think can make the team right now. So we were thinking this was going to be, we've had a, I think the last Olympics might have been our heyday in 16. 2000 was pretty good too, but as far as medal count, 16 was ridiculously good. We thought we were going to be better for, I'm just talking about people representing Georgia, than ever in 2020. So now, you know, we got a lot of things going on. And, you know, just like you were talking in football today, you know, all of a sudden plans are on hold. We have one of an athlete here currently swimming with us. He didn't go to school here. But he just got admitted to MIT for engineering in Oxford. And
well, what a dummy he must be.
Yeah, you know, we do a lot of little lessons for him, trying to get him up to speed.
Yeah, I'm sure you're. That's one of your big worries, is keeping him. Make sure he's eligible.
He probably took rocks for jocks, right?
And I have another one here, Nick Fink, who swam for us. His father's one of the directors of the NBA. He's actually in charge of the All-Star game. Nick just got into Georgia Tech for engineering and a few others for engineering. Georgia Tech is actually ranked 5 in the country. It's hard for me to say it. I told him yesterday I was so happy for him, but I'm not proud of him at all.
There you go.
No, we don't question their academic prowess, Coach. We just don't. We don't like their athletic program.
That's true. But anyhow, a lot of kids, it's good. You know, it's going to be an interesting week here. You know, we're I'm sitting here about 20 minutes from the pool right now, and so it's tough on stuff. It's everyone says, you know, it's tough on coaches. Forget that. It's tough on kids.
Oh, it's terrible.
Tough on athletes.
Well, you had
it's kids. You know, I got these kids. Some of these are not kids. These are the two that I just mentioned are 28 years old.
Yeah. Well, Javier Acevedo redshirted this year, right, just to get ready for the Olympics.
Just to get ready. And, you know, and I'm glad he did because, you know, we never had NC2As. It turns out to be the smartest thing, and it hurt us, Dave. He was our best swimmer by far. And I thought we had a shot to go top 10 even without it, but he impacted relays. But we also have him for next year, and hopefully this runs its course. But I'm not sure what would have happened with that. But he just got back up into Canada. We spoke with his mom yesterday. He's there. We had some concerns about him being here and training, you know. So
yeah.
So he just had to get back. And you know what? And also, there's that part where mom and dad, they just, when all this is going down, they just want to be around their child.
Absolutely. I totally get that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I totally get it.
I thought he had a better situation here. There were some pools that were available to him. I wasn't allowed to coach him and couldn't be around him. But, you know, I sort of was very aware of what he was doing. But when up there, it looks like he might have one, he might not. But most of the pools up there are completely shut down.
Well, Jack, can you give us some, I hate to ask you to speculate, that's not fair, but what's going to happen here with USA Swimming? And then, it just sounds like we're heading towards the inevitable. The games are going to be moved back to 21, or, I mean, is that what you think also?
Well, I was born an optimist, and you always hold up, you always hold hope, you know, but it's certainly, no matter what, it's not going to be the same as what it was or when it was. That's going to be an impossibility, I think. And I think you have to realize there's some other things there. Usually, you know, with like Japan, I'm not sure what's going to happen there also, because there's a history, and I know it's Japan also. You know, all the housing usually is turned over to people afterwards. I know they did it in Australia, and I know they did it in China. So, and Rio also. It's a small city, that Olympic Village, really. And I'm sure they were contracted for people coming in to live. So, you know, there are a lot of logistics that we don't think about. So I'm not sure what it's going to do to Japan's, even the future of them hosting it. I'll tell you this quite succinctly. I don't know. It's an ever-changing thing. And you talked about, I heard you earlier when you said, you know, Friday the 13th. And you were right. Thursday started the domino effect. And then the fallout started on Friday, that morning, the 13th. But, you know, if you look at it, we're only a couple, 2 weeks away, you know, from or less from all heck breaking loose, and look how much has changed. So, anyhow, we'll see what happens. That's all I can say. I don't know. And everybody's trying to figure out circle the wagons, you know, doing videos, doing this and doing this. But the bottom line is the athletes have to remain ready in some form or another. Otherwise, when they become ready, they'll be hurt. They have to find any way possible to remain the athlete they are.
Did you find a pool for your pro athletes?
Yes.
That's
all I'm saying.
Oh, that's all you can say. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I hear you. I hear you. Well, anyway.
But it's also it's spaced, so they're not near each other. And I would think a chlorinated pool probably is not the worst thing you can get into, because it almost kills everything. But I think, yeah, we're just trying to have at least a sense of normalcy. We can't, I don't think we can go forward as far as conditioning, but we're not going backward.
Well, good. Yeah, and at least you're maintaining.
We're maintaining, and we're doing a lot of stuff outside the pool. You know, we have one swimmer in Sense has almost like a small gym where he lives in Athens. And so he can get stuff done, and they rotate people coming in, that kind of thing. And it's just everybody's, you know, it's imagination time. But one of my coaches just told me, I guess both of them did, I guess there was another couple more cases in Atlanta, right?
Think so. I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be starting.
I know
Italy
had almost 1,000 yesterday. People passing away. I think it was 900 plus.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. We'll see what happens in the next couple weeks. But David, Logan, what is the official? On Athens, it's a lockdown. Is it the 24-hour or what?
Logan can answer this better than I. I'm confused.
Yeah. It's a 24-hour mandate to shelter in place. But I'll say this, because this is fact, that the mayor has been on shows here in the building and essentially said that nobody will get arrested, nobody's going to get cited for it, and essential travel is okay. It's basically, right, the best way to put it, it's an official...
Don't have a large group gathering.
It's an official recommendation, let's put it that way.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure like your house, that's the only thing we've done. We've gone out to get food. Mm-hmm. Everything else is
exactly
at the house. But I think the nice thing is, you know, we're just fortunate in a neighborhood where we are. We can just take a good walk and, you know, I think it's really healthy to be outside.
Yeah.
I really do. It's just as long as you're not near people.
Right.
But I think that's the plus. I think holding up is, this is the coaching part of me. I just can't stand, probably because I just can't stand being inside that long. But I think a lot of gardens are going to look great, and lawns are going to look really good this summer. A
lot of yards of the month. Yes, I hear you on that. Jack, drive safely. We will be back in touch. We love talking to you, and
you too,
please
guys.
Keep us updated.
And boy, do we miss baseball, huh?
I know.
Miss everything right now.
Everything. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Thanks, Jack.
Yeah. All right, guys. Take care. And thanks again.
All right.
Thanks, Coach.
Georgia swim coach, Jack Bowerly.